God, man, our hearts are overwhelmed right now with the fact that you came towards us. That you're a God who lowered yourself down and came into the broken side of humanity, all in pursuit of us. And God, I'm just thankful tonight that this group is gathered here tonight. Gosh, there's so many places, God, we could be tonight. So many things we could be doing otherwise. It's a crazy, crazy time of year. And yet, God, I just ask that you would help us to put aside some of the things of earlier in the day, things that are coming up through the rest of the week, and just take this time to grow, to learn, to seek you, and to be in a place where you can continue to draw near to us. God, I just pray that this wouldn't just be a religious exercise tonight, God, but there would be some learning and also even perhaps maybe something life-altering as we leave here tonight. So, God, we just want to know you more deeply. We want to be different when we come out of here tonight. And we just pray these things according to your character and your identity, the identity of Jesus. Amen. Hey, let's give PJ and these guys another hand. Man, you know, I don't know if you realize this, but you know, everybody up here outside of PJ is a volunteer, and these guys came from work and different places just like you did, and they have been here prepping. And I was gone this past weekend. Our family was out of town on vacation, and man, I tell you what, I miss being with you guys. I mean, it's great to be on vacation. I always love being away for time to just get out of the normal routine. But there's just something that really fills my soul every time we're here, and what these guys and women, Amber, with three guys bring is a huge part of that, so thank you. Well, hey, welcome to last Wednesday, the last Wednesday of 2016. As PJ said, it's the holiday edition. When you came in, you got a rock. I already heard a couple drop. You can just place that in your cup holder if you want. We're going to, yeah, there you go. We're going to use this later tonight. If you didn't get a rock when you came in, go to the back. Our team in the back will make sure you get one in your hands because you'll need that later tonight. A couple things. We're in the season of generosity. We've got two big initiatives going on here right now. We've got the Spread Some Cheer meal boxes, and then we also have the Giving Tree. And when I walked by that a few minutes ago, I think there are about 12 tags left on the Giving Tree. We have over 20 kids that we're sponsoring. And then we have, I believe, 69, maybe 68 boxes, because I saw one come off before I walked in here, and all of those boxes need to go out the door by this weekend. And so we have over 180 families that are counting on a meal. This isn't like 180 random people or families that might get a meal. These are 180 families who are expecting a meal from us. And we just believe God calls us to be generous. And so we do initiatives like this. And so let me tell you what, you guys that are here, I don't want to make you all stars, but you're like all stars, right? I mean, in fact, you're coming out on a Wednesday night. So that tells me you're probably all stars in generosity too. So I don't want to see any boxes out there when I leave tonight. All right, I don't know if we can pull that off. All right, I'm going to take another one home. We're going to take a second one home. We always usually do two boxes, but we need all of those gone by the end of the weekend. I'd love to have them gone tonight so we know that all of these families that are depending on us will have a meal here in a couple weeks. And then December 11th, we're going to be taking these out into the community. We need some help getting those into trailers on the 11th. If you can help during our services that morning, go into the app. There's a volunteer button for Spread Some Cheer. You can sign up, tell us when you can serve, or you can help distribute later that afternoon into the homes of families or to schools. And then also the Giving Tree gifts come back on the 11th as well. So make sure you're putting that on your calendar. It's a great day. My favorite day of the year here at Cross Point because of the love that just is flowing as the generosity flows into this place and then right back out. And then, of course, we have Christmas Eve coming up. You've probably got that on your calendar. We have five services this year. We're being very aggressive, adding a third night. And the reason we're doing this is because we increasingly talk to people, have people tell us, you know, I came here for Christmas Eve or I came here for Easter, you know, 9 months ago. I haven't been back since. But that connect because somebody invited them. Somebody invited a neighbor, a friend, a coworker, a family member. They whatever hit a rough patch in life and said, you know, I'm going to go back to that church because that's the place that I connect with God. So use this as an opportunity to invite people. You'll get some invites this weekend that you can use to pass out. We also need volunteers for Christmas Eve. You can text Xmas Vol to 25827, or you can talk to the lead in your area of service, wherever you serve. If you serve, if you don't serve, it's a great opportunity to give back at Christmas to others who are going to be joining us, the hundreds, even probably over 1,000 people that will join us over those services. Now, in a moment, we're going to take a look at a video that it's a scientific experiment, and it really ties in with what I'm going to be talking about tonight relative to Christmas. Because as PJ said, Christmas is about waiting. The story of Christmas is about waiting, and I want us to kind of embrace the spiritual discipline of waiting tonight. So take a look at this experiment.
Okay, sit in that chair. All right, here's the deal. Marshmallow, for you. You can either wait, and I'll give you another one if you wait, or you can eat it now. When I come back, I'll give you another one. So then you'll have two. But stay in here and stay in the chair till I come back, okay?
Okay.
All right. I'm gonna go do something and then I'll come back.
It smells yummy. It smells really good.
I'll be back. Stay in the chair, okay? Okay. All right, so I'm gonna leave and then I'll come back, okay? So you can either eat it right now or you can wait, either way, okay? Okay. How'd you do? Did you do good? You did?
Yeah.
You wanted to eat it, didn't you? Yeah. So did I tell you to give you another one? Okay, now you can have both. You need them.
Oh, waiting, right? The beauty of waiting. You know, one of my most intense memories about Christmas was every year waiting for a BB gun. I don't know if you had a BB gun or wanted a BB gun as a kid. You know, that's why that clip from Christmas Story, like I really connect with it, you know, when Ralphie gets the BB gun, because, you know, I was always waiting. I remember as an 8-year-old waiting, 9-year-old waiting, 10-year-old, 11-year-old. I think when I was 12, I finally got a Pumpmaster 760, you know, Crossman dual pump. I mean, it was like the best day. And so I connect with that movie because I connect with the waiting, because Christmas is about waiting. In fact, when you look at the music around Christmas, much of what we're going to be hearing over the next, you know, few weeks, maybe you've already been tuning in, is on expectancy. It's on the sense of anticipation, which ultimately leads to the sense of waiting. In fact, one of my favorites that we're going to do here later this evening, back in 1884, there was a French parish priest, and he wanted a new song for his parish. And so he contacted one of his parishioners, somebody who kind of occasionally came to his church, and this guy was more known as a poet and a wine drinker. And he basically said to him, he said, hey, I need a new song. I need you to write me a new song. So, you know, this poet wine drinker began, you know, writing, doing his thing. And he came back with a song and he gave it to the parish priest. And the parish priest took it and he gave it to another friend of his who was a composer and an atheist. And he said, hey, I need this put to music. So he took it for a couple months. He put it to music and he brought it back to the parish priest. Eventually, it became one of, you know, the regulars, especially during the Christmas season. And eventually, it was translated from French into English. And then some years later, an American abolitionist came along, brushed it up, kind of did his number on it, added another verse to it. And it's the song we have today known as O Holy Night. And so, you know, I want to read you a few verses of this song so you can let the words sink in, this idea of waiting. It says, O holy night, the stars are brightly shining. It is the night of our dear Savior's birth. Long lay the world in sin and error pining till he appeared and the soul felt its worth. A thrill of hope, the weary world rejoices. Let me say that again. A thrill of hope, the weary world rejoices, for yonder breaks a new and glorious morn. Why is there hope? Why is there hope? Because there's the hope of something. Hope means there's something that I don't have right now. Because you're anticipating that something is going to break. Something is going to happen. Something beyond what I currently have could come to be. And so it says here, finally it appeared. Finally it appeared. Long lay the world and sin and error pining. Pining means to be in waiting for the Messiah. And so I think we really undervalue this spiritual discipline of waiting today. I mean, I really do. And I kind of want to redeem that tonight as we kick off the holiday season. I mean, tomorrow's December 1st, and you know, we've got 25 days of leading up to Christmas Day. And because I waiting is something, I don't know if you're this way, but like if you're waiting for something, you almost get to the place where you feel like something's wrong, right? Or if you're waiting on God, you're like, God, is something wrong? I mean, do you not like me anymore? I mean, we almost get this complex that God must not be happy with us. And I just think we need to restore and kind of regain our sense, our appreciation of waiting. And this is something I think we do in Indy pretty well. I don't know about you, but I look around and I think we've been kind of like forced to have to like learn to wait. I think we have a leg up on other cities, at least in the Midwest. For instance, we've been waiting on I-69 to get done for years. I mean, are you freaking kidding me? It's like for 11 years I've lived down here. I don't think there's been more than a month where there hasn't been cones like up all over the place. We've been waiting for the Colts to make it out of the like first round of the playoffs for like since the Super Bowl, right? That they won. We've been waiting on Andrew Luck to not get like, his smashed every game, right? I mean, we're waiting for a line. We've been waiting for Florence Henderson. God rest her soul. Florence Henderson died this week. Did everybody see that? Was she anybody else's like TV mom? I mean, I had a great mom, but if you grew up in the 70s, 80s, like she was like TV mom of America, right? We've been waiting for years for her to hit the right notes on God Bless America at the 500, right? I think she's doing it now. She's like singing with the angels, I guess. We've been waiting for an NBA championship for 40 years. Can you believe we're in like the epicenter of basketball in the country and we've yet to bring home an NBA championship? We're waiting for politicians to be able to work together as a team, right? To get something done together. We've been waiting on that. Listen, we've been waiting here at Crosspoint. We've been waiting all month, the last like 3 weeks, for that stack of boxes to disappear out there for Spread Some Cheer. Yes, we need to get generous on this. Listen, it's Christmas. It's Christmas. We need to get generous and make that stack of boxes disappear. All right. Wait, it's like Christmas, right? I should be happy. Hang on a second. Joy to the world. All right, here we go. Now we're ready. It's like a Clark moment right there. You guys don't appreciate Clark anymore, do you? See, all these things have something in common with Christmas because Christmas is a story of waiting. The nation of Israel is waiting for a Messiah. We see Mary, she's waiting to have sex, right? She's waiting to have sex, so that's why she's called the Virgin Mary, right? Now I know for some of us, this is like a crazy, far-out spiritual concept for us to think that Mary was impregnated by God. But let's be honest. I mean, if there is a God, don't you think he could work in the supernatural realm beyond just what we think is natural? I mean, she's waiting to have sex. She still hasn't had sex at Christmas time. I mean, and then after she is impregnated, she's waiting for 9 months to deliver this baby. Another character in the Christmas story, the character of Zechariah. Zechariah is eventually going to become the uncle of, the great uncle, right, of Jesus. His son, John the Baptist, not John the Methodist or John the Presbyterian, John the Baptist, he's the cousin of Jesus. And this crazy thing happens for Zechariah, the father of John the Baptist. He's told that until redemption happens through the Messiah who's coming, he's not going to be able to speak anymore. And so he's like hanging out at the temple waiting. He's just in this mode of waiting at the temple. He's waiting to get his voice back. He's waiting to be able to talk. The wise men, the magi, right? I mean, we all have this in our houses, right? You have a nice little set figurine up on your shelf or, on your table somewhere with Mary and Joseph and, the cow and the donkey and, the magi, of course, the wise men. I mean, everybody's happy there. And I don't like mean to ruin your little piece of artwork that you got set up there, but, when Jesus was born as a little baby, the magi, the wise men weren't there, all right? So, like, you need to set them way far away. They weren't there. Right? They had to wait. When they first got the message that the Messiah had arrived on the scene and was born, that he was erupting into the world, he was emerging in the form of a baby. And scholars are very united on this. All right? Scholars across the board, you know, they believe that by the time the wise men, the magi, got the message, by the time it took them to see the star, to follow the star, to walk to where Jesus was like probably not a baby anymore. He's probably like playing stickball on the road or something. All right? I mean, he was older, right? Because they were in waiting. And so if there's anything in your life right now that you're in waiting for, you just feel like, man, God, when are you going to come through on this? God, why am I still waiting on this? Let me just say, welcome to Christmas. Welcome to Christmas. That's Christmas right there. All right, you have something in common with Christmas. I mean, and maybe there's a unique lesson that you're going to learn this Christmas season, something very unique that God is growing inside of you as a result of this waiting. We're waiting today for the world to get better, right? We're waiting for, you know, fewer tragedies. We're waiting for more harmony. We're waiting for more peace, more prosperity. I mean, socialists are saying, well, if we could just, you know, build a socialist economy, the world would be better. Well, people have tried that. It doesn't work, right? Capitalists are saying, well, if they just allow, you know, us to have more money and take away more government restriction, you know, everything will work better, the world will be great. Well, we've tried that, and it doesn't always work. You know, I mean, you got like the spiritualists, and they're like, well, if I just kind of cherry pick from all the religions, I take a little of this and a little of that and a little bit of Jesus, and let's just love everybody, then the world would be a great place. But it doesn't work that way. People have tried it. I mean, you have the atheists and the humanists, and they're like, man, if we just remove religion altogether, just wipe it off the board, you know, try to make everything that's really bad, the world would be a better place. None of this works. Why doesn't any of this work? Why are we still having issues of worth amidst all of this trying? It's because of a three-letter word called sin. Because we're waiting. One of the things we're waiting on is we're waiting for sin to be redeemed. We're waiting for sin to kind of be completely eliminated. And here's the thing, you and I were born into it. You and I were, you know, we inherited it. We operate in it. We've had it since birth. It's in us. At least as Steppenwolf says.
Born to be wild.
Yeah, yeah. Get your lighter out, all right? Here we go. Here's your lighter. Oh, Born to be Wild, right? Great American classic right there. Yeah. You know what I heard the other day? Somebody actually told me that dude is actually Canadian. That really bummed me out. I'm like, you can't have a great American classic and be Canadian. It doesn't work that way. Yeah, so, you know, we're born to be wild. We're born to be self-centered. We're born to be about our own stuff. We're born to be racist. We're born to be judgmental. We're born to be, you know, all about our things and our stuff and not about the higher things of God. All of us have this. And this is why we need somebody from the outside, somebody that's not just from within, not something I can take here and do my little formula, my little spiritual cocktail and make it work. I need somebody from the outside that's outside of my environment. Regardless of how religious you are, how irreligious you are, we need somebody from the outside to come and take us to a different place. This is why the Apostle Paul, he talks about this. He actually talks about a veil. He talks about something called a veil. He talks about how there's this veil over us that darkens us. And it actually darkens our eyes. It actually prevents our eyes from seeing the things that we need to see, seeing what is right, and ultimately from doing what is right. And so he uses this metaphor in this scripture that I want us to look at tonight. And this comes from 2 Corinthians chapter 3. And if you have the Bible app, you can open it up and you can go to 2 Corinthians 3 or you can, you know, follow along on the screens. But he talks about how the nation of Israel has been veiled. How God's people can't see properly and therefore they can't act properly. And so here's what he says. He says, whenever Moses is read, which is kind of a way of saying whenever the Bible is read or whenever the New Testament is read, because Moses wrote most of it. Whenever Moses is read, a veil lies over their eyes, but when one turns to the Lord, the veil is removed. Now, the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. And we all, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. So he's saying we are being transformed, that there's a waiting period that we're in, and in the process, we're actually being transformed. And there's a veil of darkness that comes over us, and he's basically saying we can't see what's right or what we exactly need to do unless the veil is lifted up and someone comes and takes it away. And here's the thing, he says this is a process. This is a process. He says we have to wait for the fullness of our own personal transformation to happen. And guess what? Guess what? We don't wait very well. Have you noticed that? We don't like to wait. Right? In fact, nothing in our culture really champions this idea of waiting at all. I mean, we're trying to take waiting out of everything, right? I mean, the main driver of capitalism today, which I love capitalism, but the main driver is I don't have to wait, right? I can sit on my couch like I did last night with Amazon. I can just hit a button and all of a sudden it arrives today. I mean, it's so cool. I love that. But here's the thing. When we transfer that into the spiritual realm, it doesn't work well for us. In fact, anything capitalistic, non-waiting, you know, that has non-waiting tendencies that we transfer into the spiritual realm actually comes to hurt us. And in fact, we often think that if I'm waiting for something, something's wrong, right? I was standing in a checkout lane yesterday, and I'm just standing there, and I'm watching the girl. She's the only one. There's like a line forming, and it's taking forever, and I'm kind of getting agitated. I'm like, she must be doing something wrong. She must be new. I mean, she wasn't doing anything wrong. I just don't like to wait. Shoot, we pop something in the microwave, right, for 2 minutes. What do? You can't wait 2 minutes. At a minute 45, 15 seconds, you're like, is it done? Is it done? Is it done? Is it done yet? I mean, you're checking it out. We don't like to wait. You know, we don't like to wait to find out the sex of our child, right? I mean, you're like, I gotta know. So we do ultrasounds and sonograms and, you know, because we can't wait for 9 months. Kids can't wait to find out what they're getting for Christmas. Have you noticed that? Like some of my friends, my kids' friends, they already know what they're getting for Christmas. I'm like, well, how do they know? And they're like, well, their parents ask them, like, what do you want? Okay, we're going to get that for you. We didn't do that. Did you do that in your home? We didn't do that in our home. Anybody do that in their home? Like in my home, I had to wait to see if my mom and dad were like winners or losers on Christmas Day. You know, did they do well or did they not do well, right? I mean, we never did that. I mean, you know, we can't, kids can't wait. We were just at Disney a week ago today. We were at Disney World, and we were at the Magic Kingdom, and they have these new things called Fast Passes. Not new, they've been around for a few years. But, you know, you can go online, and you can, like, schedule the day you're going to be at the park, and you can pick 3 rides that your whole party can ride together where you, like, skip to the front of the line. So, you know, we got our rides, and they're spread through the day. You know, our kids are like, we'd go get in line for something. They're like, well, do we have a Fast Pass for this? Well, no, we're just going to wait for 35 minutes and get on the ride. 35 minutes? I'm like, come on, Julie, did you have Fast Passes when you were 8 at Disney World? No, did I? I didn't have Fast Passes. I mean, we live in a culture that constantly tries to take the sense of waiting out of it. And some of these are understandable, right? I mean, if you want to find out the sex of your kid, I mean, it's okay. I mean, don't feel bad if you've done that, all right? I mean, if you, like, check with your kids on what they want for Christmas, I mean, we do some of that, too. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. Here's what I want us to understand. See, all of these things that are taken out of our culture, when it comes to the spiritual world, they cause us to run smack into a wall. Because God operates on different timetables. God operates in a different economy. God has different purposes. And we must wait for certain things. We sang a song a moment ago that used the word Advent. You know, many of us probably don't even know what the word Advent means. Advent is actually a Latin word for the sense of coming. Something is coming. And the fact that it's coming means that you have to be in waiting. Paul Timothy Jones says this. He says, our calendars are dominated by the venerable rhythms of redemption, or are not. Our calendars are dominated not by the venerable rhythms of redemption, but by the swifter currents of consumerism and efficiency. Some of the things we have to realize is God is not always efficient. See, the nation of Israel, they were waiting on a Savior. And there are things, in fact, I want to hit 2 things tonight that you and I are still waiting for as we head into this Christmas season. Number one, we're waiting for a Savior. We're waiting for a Savior. See, God wasn't efficient. God didn't come on the time of the people. God came on his own time. And in many ways, we're still waiting for a Savior today. I showed you a few weeks ago, if you were here during the Brave Journey, I showed you about one of the latest projects that I've got going on in my garage right now. It's a couple snowmobiles. And those kind of came about because my son and I was looking around our house one day, and I'm like, Julie, We have like all kinds of girly stuff around our house. You know, it's like we have dolls and things that smell girly and look girly and feel girly. And like we need some man stuff. We got a few guns and BB guns, that kind of stuff. But so, you know, we started talking what we could do, what Matt and I could do together. And I grew up with snowmobiles. So I'm like, you know, I got on Craigslist. We started looking for a snowmobile. Came across these two. And I wasn't sure I was going to get them. The guy was selling them both. One ran, the other didn't. He wanted to sell them as a pair. So Matt and I went, took them out of school for part of a day. And we went and looked at them. And Julie texted me, and we made a deal. I mean, I told the dude, I'm like, I'm not going to pay to get rid of one of these if I can't get it going. So he made me a really good deal. I paid $200 for him. And so we were driving home. Julie texted me. She knew we were out. She said, hey, we have snowmobiles? I said, we do. And I sent her the picture. And I think her response was like, ugh, they look like a lot of work, you know, as you can tell. So we get them home, and we've been working on these. And as I've been working on these, I've kind of been in these two tensions. These two tensions have been at war within me, all right? The first tension is this idea of I'm like, man, let's get this thing running right now. Like, I want to get it running. I want to see what it can do. I want to smell the two-cycle oil. I mean, let's get it going right now. And that's what we did right there. About that. Oh man, yeah. That's for all the men in the room right there. Now, the other tension that I'm in, you know, with the other, so that's the first one I've been working on. The second one I've been working on is the one without the hood right there. It was in much worse, you know, shape. And yeah, as we've kind of dug into it, I've realized this is the one that actually has a lot more potential. And so the other side of the tension for me, the one I'm kind of leaning into right now, is we've been taking our time on this one. And going through it, and you know, we've tore the carbs apart, and the fuel pump apart, and the oil pump apart. All the, you know, changed spark plugs. Anything that's got grime, we've tried to clean it. We've totally rebuilt the carbs, and you know, any bolt that was stripped, we replaced it. Everything that needs to be redone. The seat, we're in process. Just got a seat in for it, a windshield. And here's the thing: as we're working on these, it's actually been a very spiritual endeavor. Because one of the things I've been realizing with this, and here's the this is the one that we just got refurbed that's pretty much ready to go. We've realized that short of somebody like Matt and I coming in from the outside, these snowmobiles had no hope. They had absolutely no hope. That snowmobile, if it was ever going to have a life again, needed a savior. And this is what you and I need. I mean, those of us who are born to be wild, those of us who you know, we don't like to wait, we need a savior. We need somebody from the outside to come and to help us, to bring external help to us. Because here's the thing, we have become so accustomed in the world to the sin around us. All right, it's almost like we've lost a sense of the darkening factor of how sin affects us. We've lost the longing for something different. Let me ask you a question. What's the last thing you saw that really grieved you? I mean, what's the last thing that you saw that you're like, man, that just broke my heart right there? See, the Bible says that we've lost our ability to blush. And so we're darkened by sin, and yet we don't even notice it. And we don't notice that sex isn't a holy act anymore. I mean, sex is just something that two people who are kind of fond of each other do, or feel good together. And I mean, they don't even notice. We don't even notice that, you know, there's a whole design for it, and it's something mystical and powerful, and yet we settle for something so much less than that. You know, we don't even notice the greed within ourselves. I mean, I've never had somebody come up to me and say, hey, Kurt, I've got a problem I need to talk to you about. I've got a greed problem. Usually the conversation is like, hey, I've got a problem. You know, my wife, my husband, my business partner, they are so greedy. I mean, I'm selfless, but I mean, they are greedy. See, we've lost the ability to actually see, to identify the greed inside of us. Men, you know, don't flinch any longer. Men pay even to watch women punch each other in the nose and in the mouth and bleed. I mean, we don't even blush at that anymore. Oh, yeah, and then they were like, oh, yeah, remember the active shooter at Ohio State yesterday? Next news story, please. Like, it doesn't even faze us. We see this stuff, and it's almost like we've become dampened by the darkness and the sin that's all around us. And I'm telling you what, I don't think that it was specifically the shooter, you know, the active shooter things. This isn't a gun problem. This isn't a video game problem. This is a sin problem. It's a sin problem. And I'm not saying there shouldn't be adjustments to video games or adjustments to gun laws. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that the core of the issue of the darkness in our world is an issue of sin. And we need to use our leadership to come against that and try to create, you know, solutions. But we need an outside entity from the outside who comes in. We need a Savior to do for us what we can't do on our own. Another one of these verses in O Holy Night says, "Chains shall he break, for the slave is our brother. And in his name all oppression shall cease." You know, when you see an image of a slave that is shackled, which by the way, why do you think it says the slave is our brother? I mean, you're like, I've never been in chains. I mean, I don't really have anything to identify with a slave. Well, the writer says this because the slave is like the physical representation of where I am naturally and in many cases spiritually. The slave is my brother. The slave is my sister. Because we're shackled by sin and we don't have a key. We don't have a key. We don't have the wherewithin to get out of the sin that we're in. We need something from the outside to come and open that up. So not only are we waiting for a Savior, but number two, we're waiting for salvation. This is a season where we're waiting for salvation. All of us are waiting for salvation. You might be going, whoa, Kurt, no. I received Jesus when I was like eight. I mean, I'm not waiting on salvation. No, you are. All of us are waiting on salvation. All right? I received Christ when I was, I don't know, 12, 13, right around that age. And I don't remember the exact day. I can tell you what it looked like. I was at a concert, and I don't know why this concert. I'd been to a lot of concerts, but I was at a concert, and they gave the invitation for anybody that wanted to receive Christ could just kneel where they were and pray this prayer. And the prayer I kind of prayed is I said, Jesus, I want you to come into my life. I want to commit my life to you. I thank you for your forgiveness. I receive that into my life. I want to follow you, Jesus, to the best of my ability, and I want you to give me your Holy Spirit to do that. Help have your Spirit help me do that, because I don't think I can do it on my own. And in kind of the religious jargon, you know, that's what we call being saved, right? Now, what's interesting is in the book of Philippians, chapter 2, in the New Testament, there's this really odd verse that says this. It says, the writer's saying, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Right, he says, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. So if I receive salvation back at that moment where I kneeled at that concert, what does it mean for me to work out my salvation with fear and trembling? Do I go, oh no, did I not say the right words? I mean, did I miss a word? Is there a word I had to say? And if I say the magic words, then God saves me? No, it's not that at all. Or when I say, well, no, I said the right words, but man, I've just really bummed God out. And even though I said the words, God doesn't like me, and so there's no way in heaven I'm gonna end up there. I'm going to be in hell the rest of my life. Well, that's not exactly what he's saying here either. So what does it mean when he says, work out your salvation with fear and trembling? What's happening here? Well, see, there's actually three levels. There's three ongoing levels of salvation. Three ongoing kind of operations of salvation. The first is I was saved. The second is I ultimately will be saved. And this is the idea that, you know, if I go to heaven, if I get hit by a bus when I walk out of Cross Point tonight, all right, then I ultimately am going to be saved. When I get to heaven, my sin is going to be forgiven. All my sin's going to melt away. I mean, there's going to be no more tears in heaven, no more grieving. I mean, I'm going to fully and completely be saved, you know, from all of the sin that's racking my life right now. Or number three, it's really more of a yes and, I am being saved right now. I am being saved. This verse that we looked at earlier that said we're in the process of being transformed is another way of saying we're being sanctified. And these are kind of big theological words, but to be sanctified really means I'm being saved. There are areas in my life right now that God is rooting out of my life right now, and I'm having to work those out with him in fear and trembling. You know, I like to spend time in the mornings connecting with God. That's the time usually I spend, you know, having some quiet time with God. And I'm still being saved in the midst of that. In fact, this past week was probably one of my hardest times focusing on God and just getting into reading the Bible. Last week, I don't know, and I actually do know why. In fact, for the last 8 to 10 weeks, I've just felt like I've been really focused in my time with God. And part of that is because I've been in some very intentional growth environments. I've been, of course, going through the Brave Journey here at Cross Point. That was 6 weeks of just really intentional everyday homework and connecting with my Brave group. In fact, multiple Brave groups, my men's group, and, doing the homework through the week, processing things, texting, having conversations with people. And then I was also a part of a 10-week kind of a discipleship initiative with some other guys, and both of these ended on the same day. They both ended November 20th, on Sunday, November 20th. And so during the last 10 weeks or so, I've been very focused in my time with God. And part of that, I think, is because some of the things God had been stirring in me during that season, I was just finding myself going, oh my word, God, I don't know that I can do this on my own. I need your power. I need your strength. I need your wisdom. I really need you, your kind of purpose to build into me as I go through these things you're calling me to do. And it really brought a focus to it. And now that that season is over, I've just realized that I've been pretty dry over the last week. And part of it, I think, is because I've been on vacation. And, whenever I come home from vacation, I love vacation, but there's something about you come home and you just feel out of the routine. And which kind of gets me even further to what I've been realizing. I've been realizing that part of what I've been feeling is this sense of I feel at times like I need to be producing for God in order to be close to God. And so perhaps one of the things God is saving me from right now as we go through this Christmas season is he's helping me see that, I'm being saved. I'm being saved from this sense of feeling like I have to be productive to justify my existence with him. And I'm working out my salvation right now, even this week, on what that means for me to be in a little less intense mode where I'm not necessarily driving and in control of everything that's happening and just saying, God, I need to rest in you. I have Christ. I have Christ. But I'm working out my salvation with fear and trembling right now because I don't have the fullness of him right now. The deadening, dark veil of sin never ceases. It constantly emerges in every aspect of our lives. It causes us to not see ourselves for who God sees us as. As you think about the next 25 days, approaching the day that we celebrate as Christmas, I want you to ask yourself, what am I waiting for right now? It's the last day of November. Tomorrow's December 1st, right? What am I in need of salvation? As I head into this Christmas season, maybe you have Christ. For many of us, probably the fact that you're here, most of us here probably have Christ. But what is it that I am working out with God on my salvation? What is it that I'm awaiting from God in this season? What is it that I'm kind of holding in my hand saying, God, this is the thing, man. This is the thing I'm waiting on you for. And I'm just holding and holding. Remember, if you're waiting on something, welcome to Christmas, because this is Christmas. This is what the story is all about. Long lay the world in sin and error pining till he appeared and the soul felt its worth. One of the reasons I think that I absolutely love the season of Christmas is because of that last line right there. I think there's something about that sense of, Easter is where Jesus brought it all together. But I think in a real sense, it's really Christmas is where God emerged on the scene and we get this picture of this king, this toddler king, this baby who's coming to change everything. And this song is an amazing song because it says, until he appeared. And there's something about when we see who Jesus really is, we begin to realize and experience and feel our worth. In fact, we're going to kind of tap into that over these next few minutes as we wrap this service up. We're going to share this thing called communion, the Mass, the Lord's Supper, the Eucharist. And this is for anyone who knows Christ as their personal Savior. And I want you to just sit under this song, O Holy Night, and you can sing along if you want, but I want you to feel the worth of the Savior because he appeared, because he emerged on the scene, that he brought a purpose and a meaning. And you may be in waiting on something right now, and you may want to just lean into God in that and say, God, I don't know when that waiting's going to end. But remember, this is Christmas. This is what Christmas is. It's a season of waiting. It's the season of God preparing something. So as you receive the bread, which Jesus says represented his body, which is broken for us, and the cup, which is representing the forgiveness of our sins, may you feel the worth and the value that our Savior brought when he emerged into our broken world. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this time. I know for me, walking in here tonight just was a rush off of 3 full days already and 2 more in the back end of this week. And this is the only free night I had all week. And, you know, of course, we planned this and chose to be here, as did, you know, all of us sitting in here tonight. And God, I just pray that you would do something in us right now, because we've given time, we've chosen to be here, we've chosen to allow you to build into us. The God who came near to us, God, we say tonight, God, we're drawing near to you. And so, God, in whatever season of waiting we're in, I just pray, God, that you would meet us in that you would develop in us whatever you're working out. Help us to work out our salvation, God, even over these next 25 days. I mean, what better season than the season of waiting and anticipation to continue to work out that thing that we're expecting or hoping for? And God, right now, we just say thank you for your son who came as a baby, knowing that he eventually would end up hanging on a tree. And God, we are here and have an eternity because of that. And so we're thankful for that tonight. And so God, we receive this bread and this cup and celebrate it in your name, Jesus. Amen. Let's go ahead and stand. And PJ is just going to play for a moment. And you can make your way to the tables on either side of the front whenever you're ready over this song. And let's sing. Let's worship. Let's just put ourselves in a posture of being ready to receive and being waiting for Christ.